Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Matlock's on, TJ on our team. We got a couple other guys that really have the ability to play at the next level. So it's fun for me to have. Obviously, I'm a really good coach because I've got good talent. So I don't know that we would be the record that we have if we didn't have good players. But excited to coach Mason and the rest of the guys on this team.
Yep, definitely makes it a lot easier. Coach, this was awesome, man.
Thank
we appreciate
this,
the time.
It's fantastic.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
It's a pleasure.
He is Scott Cherry, former High Point coach, played college basketball at North Carolina. And now he's back in Memphis. His wife is from the West Tennessee area. He's in Memphis now coaching, helping out at Briarcrest and also doing the AAU thing. It's just amazing, you know, and that speaks to the basketball community in Memphis, that a guy like Scott Cherry, who he personally, I mean, his wife is from West Tennessee, but he doesn't have any personal ties to Memphis per se.
Union City, right?
Yeah, Union City. And he comes and moves to Memphis, and now he's working in the city as an AAU coach and as a high school coach. Pretty amazing.
What a get for that program.
You
got a D1 coach.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the guy's got all the knowledge in the world. I'd like to pick his brain again sometime about basketball. That was fun. That was good.
Yeah, for sure.
That was good.
Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 125. We will talk to him about the Grizzlies moves and more. That's at 125. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Casual Pint, they're over 395 South Highland. You should get over there, especially this weekend. The weather's going to be so nice. It's a great spot to hang out. It's the craft beer place in Memphis. They're locally owned and operated, which we love in Memphis, Tennessee. We support our own. They are that. I promise you, you're going to absolutely love the place. We're talking, 28 beer taps, 2 8-foot-tall refrigerated coolers of cans. And, of course, your favorite bottled beer. You can do beer to go as well. It's cool like that. Growler fills, mix of six packs. You can do that out of the cooler or packaged off the dry shelf. It's for the serious, you know, beer consumer. They don't have beer tenders. They don't have bartenders. They've got beer tenders. Folks that take their job very seriously, you'll see as soon as you get there. The owner, Lisa, she's great. Brad, Mel, David, Amber, they're all great folks. You'll see that. It's going to feel right at home in that, like I said, open-air environment. They've got a dog patio out there. These spring days are going to be lovely this weekend. You'll want to get out there. Again, 395 South Highland. You want to experience the best craft beer spot in Memphis, head over to where I told you to, 395 South Highlands, the Casual Pint, where beer lovers meet.
We were just talking to Scott Cherry about Mason Miller, who to me has gotten so much better. He led them last. They went 4-0 last week, and he led them with like 17 a game. So he has definitely made some strides developmentally.
Yeah, because last time I checked in, he wasn't taking people off the dribble and dunking on them.
No doubt.
Was the part of his game that was coming around. Sounds like a. I like the way Cherry put it, that the lights come on for him, realizing how good he can be.
But let me tell you who I'm really intrigued by.
Who?
Maverick. That's his younger brother. I think Mason is really good, too. But Maverick is like a big guard. Like, I watched him actually, because over at the Jack Jones last week in the main gym was the seniors, right?
Yeah, that's what we watched.
In the other gym, though, at MUS.
Why didn't you tell me?
The eighth graders were playing.
Why didn't you tell me that Maverick was playing in the other gym?
Well, man, I thought you were locked in on, you know, DJ and Trendon and all them, man. I didn't want to, you know. It was hot.
I saw you sneak out, too.
There was no air conditioning in that gym. But I went there and I, you know.
Way to help a brother do a little research on the younger.
Yes.
Miller.
Maverick, though, I'm telling you, he didn't.
How tall is he?
I mean, he's like 6'3", probably 6'4", right now.
Mason's 6'9"?
Yeah.
6'3", 6'4", guard, who's obviously still going to grow.
Yeah, he's in the eighth grade or the ninth grade, one of the two. Great passing ability, like great feel for
so
the game.
Mason's a wing. Yes?
He's a pick and pop, yeah. Like, that's kind of how I see him.
Maverick's a shooting guard?
I think he's a combo, yeah. And he may end up being, you know, I don't know how tall he's going to be. I have no idea. But I really like what I saw from him because he just has a, you know, at that age, you know, it's so rare to see guys who have that kind of a feel for the game. I mean, you could tell, like, he's been around basketball his whole life. But he's definitely got a chance as well. So Maverick is a stud for sure. All right. So some interesting news earlier today that we have not touched on yet. We meant to touch on it. Jerry Stackhouse, who, of course, is the coach over there at Vanderbilt, has done a very cool thing. And maybe we'll one day get to a point where it's not even, like, a cool thing anymore. You know, maybe we'll get one day to a point where it's just the standard or it just happens all the time.
Right.
But Vanderbilt basketball has hired Nikki Gross, who previously was the only female coach in the G League. So he has brought on Nikki Gross as an assistant coach over there, pending routine background checks, of course. It will not be in one of the three assistant coaching roles, but clearly, I mean, just the fact that, you know, Jerry's hiring a woman into his, you know, his staff whatsoever. I mean, look around college basketball. That just does not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have coached together before, so there is some familiarity. But again, clearly, I think this is just a nice moment, you know, a cool moment for college basketball, and you hope maybe it opens the door for other deserving women to get the opportunities.
Yeah, you know, funny thing that we're talking about this, because with the Grizzlies opening, a lot of times when we've gone out, hey, who should the Grizzlies get, you'll get back a lot of, hey, Becky Hammond, who's down in the assistant down in San Antonio. And to the point that you made, this is news because he's hiring a woman, and like we say, we say it's cool, we say it's deserved, we say all that. It will be cool. It'll be even cooler when we get to that spot where the Becky Hammonds of the world get that true opportunity that now we know they deserve.
Yep.
Look, she's been with the Spurs, what, 5-6 years now?
A lot of people are trying to get a look with the Grizz.
Here's the deal. She's going to get a shot at some point.
Yeah.
She hasn't paid all these dues for nothing. Someone eventually is going to give her a shot. And here's the thing. Like John said, it'll be even cooler when we get to a point where we don't single it out to say, hey, look at this woman in a man's world, right? Where it's just because this person's paid their dues. Because this person is deserves this gig.
Exactly.
And so I'm pulling for I'm pulling for all women in male dominated areas. There's no question about it. Because look, who was in the women's Final Four that was making that point? This point.
It was Muffet.
Muffet.
Muffet McGraw.
She was making the point that look, we're not getting opportunities in men's college basketball. We're not coaching those teams.
Right.
And yet, we don't even really just get all the opportunity to coach our own. We got men coaching the women, like, in anyway.
Gino, you know?
No, well, it's a lot more than just him.
I know, but I think he should step down and let a woman do the job. That would be the right thing to do. Don't you think?
I think you may want to. We may want to clip that up.
Rebecca Lobo.
Because that may be the hottest take you've had on this show ever. That Gino should step down and let a woman I mean, that's a national take.
I'm sorry.
If that gets out of Memphis, that thing's going to take off.
What
you just said. Oh, man.
Wow.
Brother, if it gets out of here, I mean, that thing's going to fly.
But let me ask you this sincerely. Hasn't he had his run? Isn't it time to pass the baton?
I wanted to hire him at Tennessee.
Oh, you did?
They should have.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear that take from you.
I mean, it's like, come on. I said,
did you?
I want
real quick
I'm not
on that?
Doing the hiring
real quick.
At Tennessee.
Okay, real quick.
It's not like
you brought
I'm
it up.
For him.
Since you brought up Tennessee.
I want to get the women's basketball program right at the University of Memphis.
Did you see the press conference, the introductory press conference at Tennessee for Kelly Harper? Did you happen to see it?
I missed it.
Bro, Phil Fulmer must have had some. He must have had to go to football practice or something because that man had absolutely no words. Like Mike Conley, that man had no words for Kelly Harper. I mean, he was like, I want to introduce our next coach. He didn't even go into the spiel about how, you know, she's one of our own. She's a great leader. Like, he just said.
That's the easy one. Yeah, that's a low-hanging fruit right there. You got to take that one, Phil.
You got to find the video. He doesn't even. He doesn't even pose with her with the jersey long enough to get a picture.
What, was he uncomfortable? This is out of his little bit of realm a little bit, I guess.
I mean, yes.
But come on. This is a big part of your program.
Yeah, like you're the athletic director.
It's a huge part of your athletic program.
I hope I'm not over-exaggerating.
Oh, I'm sure you'll have some Tennessee fans say you got this wrong.
But, I mean, it just.
But if it stood out to you.
It was like he had somewhere he had to be, bro. He had no time to have any flowery prose for Kelly Harper. May had nothing to say.
I mean, come on. Phil, worry about that football, spring football.
I know, but it's like you're hiring a coach. Hell, I mean, well, Tom Bowen would have something to say if they hired a new volleyball coach down there. You know, I mean, he'd go on and on, I'm sure. You know he loves his non-revenue sports down there, Tom Bowen does.
He likes to stick with them.
Yes, he does. So
he's
I'm just
give him all. He's gonna give you some time to get it turned around.
In eternity. You're gonna get that time.
Stop.
Tubby gets fired after gets clipped after 2 years, and y'all keeping the unbelievable.
You will fire up a very passionate small part of town, John, when you start talking about that women's basketball program.
I'm not talking about the women's basketball program.
So you be
talking about
careful.
I'm talking about the Tennessee basketball program.
I know, but close to talking about the one here.
Phil Fulmer said
he gives his coaches an eternity.
I think Phil Fulmer had like Peyton Manning ESPN series to go watch, because I'm telling you, that dude had no time for Kelly. It was disrespectful. It was, in my mind, it was disrespectful. I'm gonna send you the video.
You should have all the time in the world for that part of your program. It's very important.
Yes,
up there.
Anyway, so that is your women's basketball talk for the day here on the John Show. I thought it was really strong. The Grizzlies, your Memphis Grizzlies, have made some moves. They have made some front office changes.
We ready?
As we know, Chris Wallace has been reassigned within the front office. He is now a scout, basically.
Straighten me out on one thing. You got a month. Did Hollinger get a promotion or a demotion?
Well, it just depends on which side of this you're on.
Depends on where you like working from, huh?
Yeah, I would love to do the radio show from home every day. Wouldn't you? Just do the show from home?
Man,
I mean,
yes.
Again, like Neil McCready. Like, we just do the Neil McCready thing and just do it from home. Yeah, that'd be great.
It's not the best
deal. Dog's barking in the background would be great.
When I got Tiger's beat writing job and I didn't have to go sit in a cubicle every day like I did when I was the preps writer, right?
Yes.
Like, that was wow.
No question.
You know what I mean? So, to me, that was the best, one of the best parts. You go from home.
No,
so
it's a true blessing.
I'm messing around. I know technically it's a demotion for Hollinger, but away from this and, still clocking in from home.
Keelan got demoted from an assistant coach, but didn't he get a raise?
Oh, yes.
There you go.
$20,000, matter of fact.
Feels like, and you remember, like it was yesterday. That man said $20,000, like it was yesterday. You count that man's pockets.
I probably owed him more than that for the players.
We know you give him more than that. You give him $450,000. anyway.
No, he damn near beat Trenton and G.J. Jeffries. That's how good a coach he is.
Oh, the other night?
You want me to do some more? Yeah.
At the Jack,
because we know there are certain coaches in town that you love as well.
You go really.
Dude. Here's my thing. I run to it. I don't run away from it.
I mean, you're gonna sit here and try to bring up an all-star game result. You're right. You're exactly
only
losses
right. Lost with single digits, John.
But anyway,
it's coaching.
I think it was a technical demotion, but in many ways, maybe on a personal level, it was a promote, because he's still getting paid and he's still with the organization, right? So
how much confidence do you have, John? That is the essential question right now with this with the newly arranged, the new, if you want to call it that, and you put a front office. How much confidence do you have going forward?
I wouldn't say that I have confidence.
Question we're all asking.
I don't know how anybody can say they have confidence. How can anybody with a straight face say, I have confidence in this front office? We have nothing to judge them on yet. We have.
I mean, that was the case before we know now the roles of it, right? I mean, I know you can put the resumes out there of Cho and Grunwald and find a whole bunch of bad and say, oh, man, well, they got former GMs that didn't have jobs, and this is going to go bad because, well, with Kleiman and Wexler not having experience, and then just bad GMs, guys that didn't work out, bad, bad, bad. But what we know is that they don't want to mess up again. They want to get it right.
Right.
Now, it's a little bit of a weird dynamic because, again, it's not just for you. You're not getting the credit if you make the right decisions, because that will go to Kleiman, right?
Yep.
But you think Cho don't want to be a GM again? Of course he does.
Yeah.
If he looks good helping Kleiman in this role, that helps him back to it. So you got to believe he's going to do the damnedest. Here's the point I'm trying to make, is that when folks got something to prove, like these two do, Grunwald as well, and you can make a case, and I think we even heard it with Steve Kyler. Look, Grunwald's got a pretty good reputation.
He does.
Frankly, maybe should already be one. But my point is that when you've got them and they've got something to prove, that's good for you.
Yep.
That's a good thing for you. So to go back to my question to you, John, I'm the one that's telling you that's told you from the get-go, it feels like a rearranging. It feels like a little bit they're pulling the wool down over our eyes a little bit. All that said, I've got a quiet confidence that this is going to work. Again, I could lay out all the reasons why it won't, but I think I just told you some reasons why. Again, this is what you got. Mm-hmm. Nothing else is changed. Like John said, you'll add a couple of more pieces, you know, a couple of more maybe basketball advisors, whatever. You'll fill it out a little bit more. But this is basically it. We see the structure now. And I could see a way it works. Again, you know, Cho going backstab, climbing, trying to get the job? No.
Right.
No, because everybody sees the dynamic here. He's got to help him. If Cho wants to go out of here and move on and move back up and get to his what he feels like probably his rightful spot, he's got to do well here. He's got to kick ass for climbing, is my point.
Yep.
So does Grunwald.
Yep.
You're going to have a bunch of guys in there with something to prove, and I think that will – that for me, I like sitting in that. I like the fact that you'll have guys in there that have got something to prove, need to do a damn good job.
Yes.
Or your reps, your chances to be GMs again,
yes,
likely out the door.
Yeah, it's always better to be hopeful. It's always better to be optimistic. And so I definitely appreciate that. And, again, it's not like Rich Cho was a – you know, I guess it just depends on who you ask – it is a mixed bag, but he did do some good things in Charlotte. Like he did do some good things as the GM in Charlotte. You know, when he was in Portland, he signed Wes Matthews, who, you know, before that Achilles injury was a good player.
Yeah,
you know,
on his way up.
He was a really good player. So, you know, he drafted Kemba Walker.
That's the pick for me that at that part of the draft I like, because there were mistakes made before it and after it. You did not make one. You got the right guy. And so that, for me, and particularly where the Grizzlies – you know, going to draft, what was that? What was Kemba, 8 or 9?
9.
I mean, Grizzlies could have the 8 pick this year. You want a guy that's going to find the right guy at 8. I know it's not nearly the, you know, we ain't talking Kemba Walker at 8 for Memphis, but I like guys that make the right move. I like that pick. That one resonates with me. I like the Grunwald pick of Tim Hardaway Jr. at 24. That's finding value lower. We've had those picks, you know, particularly coming off those playoff seasons where the Grizzlies were there.
No doubt.
I like those signs.
Now, again
I'm not trying to butter this up and tell you it's definitely going the right way. Y'all know where I stand on this.
Yeah.
I am concerned, and I could certainly see it going the wrong way, but I'm not going to sit up here and badmouth it and say it can't work and say, no, there's no way nobody should be feeling good about this. It's crazy. No. Let's sit back and watch them work, and God, for our city, let's hope they get it right.
Because let's be honest, like, here's the other thing about the front office.
Argue about how it gets done. We all ruling the same thing.
How many people out there, like, who are the executives that people really think are geniuses, right? I mean, you can name them on one hand. You know, and you may not even need a whole hand.
Are you talking about RC and Presti?
Danny Ainge.
Ainge.
Anybody else? Anybody else just universally beloved?
I mean, Sam Presti seems to be.
Yeah, so that's three. I mean, that's three guys we just named. You know, and the rest, you know, you're going to find a difference of opinion on, period. So I think it's people's tendency to kind of complain about, because you make decisions every day. You have to make decisions every day
right. In
the front office. And sometimes players are going to work out, sometimes they're not. And, you know, that's the way it goes. In the end, you just want to be more.
Well, we need to hit on a higher percentage.
No,
of correctness.
No question.
That's
you have to be right more than you're
percentage
wrong.
Percentage has been too
low. But you know, I'm willing to give them a chance. I'm willing to see what they do. Again, if you are to believe that Zach Kleiman was the guy who was sort of the guy, he had his fingerprints all over the trade deadline deal that yielded Jonas Valanciunas and DeLon Wright.
That was a good trade.
And so that's a good trade.
Go back and forth on when they did it. Could you have gotten more? Forget that. At that time, good trade.
Yes.
And I didn't think it was when it happened.
Nobody did.
You get
did.
The players here. And
nobody did.
Those guys get more minutes, and you're like, well, you know what? Okay, I could see this guy being a piece going forward.
Exactly.
And certainly
so,
that way about Jonas.
You know, if that was Kleiman, if that was his doing, then great start. Great start. Now, whose fault was the Justin Holiday trade? Don't know. don't know if that was Chris Wallace. Was that a collective effort?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only part of this that I lament, right? Is that you just never truly know who is doing what, you know? And I don't know if we have that clarity now or not.
Well, Chris was sort of able that sort of helped him and hurt him. It was a double edged sword, right?
It was.
Here toward the end that helped and hurt.
Yep.
With Kleiman, it's all going on him.
Okay, then like, it's all Kleiman.
Because that's the one thing you could say about this structure. I mean, we see it.
Right.
And he's going to get it one way. It ain't going to be on Wexler, John.
Right.
Who, yes, in name is over both, you know, Operation Basketball, but we all know this will be on Kleiman. So bad decisions.
With input from
advised
Cho
by
and Grunwald.
You know, advised by Grunwald. And this will be on Kleiman. He has the power.
Yep.
And so, you know, I know he's ready for that. But we'll see. I mean, he's still a young guy.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. It will be pinned to him as opposed to,
yeah,
you know, where we were. We couldn't decide who this one's on,
yeah,
right, in these
yeah
last few years.
Yeah, so that's good. That's a,
that's actually a good
sure
thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, when we come back, Jeff Coggins is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on this and more when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
R-I-P-P-I-N-G, I got that V-V-S-I-C-E, oh, oh, feels like a cooler, juice, blaming on my jeweler.
All right, so we have another success story that we want to tell you about from the Live Love Memphis. There's so many to choose from these days, but we're going to focus on Lewis. Lewis is a loyal listener to the show, and he's heard us talking about Live Love, and so he reached out to Live Love, and he's had multiple conversations with the team over the last several months. He finally decided he wanted to get his house sold, and he picked Live Love Memphis, frankly, because we said he should pick Live Love Memphis. He trusted us, and guess what? They listed his house on Monday of this week. And it was under contract for list price the next day. So congratulations to Lewis and congratulations to the Live Love Memphis team.
Real talk. Grateful to Lewis, grateful to Live Love team. When you can tell someone, give them advice and tell them to go do something and it turns out great for them, it's a good feeling. And we're certainly grateful. It can happen for you if you get with the folks that over at the Live Love Memphis group. The website's livelovememphis.com. The phone number is 901-685-6000. Again, 685-6000. And you'll want to remember, the person to call is Jennifer Carstensen. She is the hard-working captain of this team, trying to help Memphians. And she has helped a great many of them, including myself, got my home sold, and got me in my dream home. She'll do the same for you. Again, livelovememphis.com.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jeff Coggins is who they want. He, of course, has a radio show that goes from 9 to 11 on this station, and you can read him over at the Daily Memphian. And he joins us now. Jeff, where in the world are you, bud?
I'm in Ohio.
You're in Ohio.
Yep.
Tell our listeners, because it's, you know, they tell us it's always a different audience, Jeff. It's a different audience in different day parts. So tell our listeners why the hell you're in Ohio. A lot of people have wondered where you've been this week. You've been a globetrotter.
Well, it's been different. Early this week, I was on jury duty, serving my country and our community by doing justice, meeting out justice. And now, as a father of three boys, I am on a college trip. And so I was just learning about black holes. And no grizzly jokes, please. And and yeah, so that's all. And so I'm up here in Ohio.
So you're learning about black holes right now?
I told this astrophysics professor who was leading a small group discussion that I didn't tell him that I was stepping out to talk on a sports talk show. I thought that was a little beneath him. But yes, I said, I'm going to have to take a business call in the midst of this. I didn't say it was because I was going to call a sports talk show. He was, he's an astrophysics professor. Anyway, that's
what were you guys? You guys were discussing the first image of a black hole. Is that what you were doing?
No, actually, he was just discussing his own personal research into gravitational waves and black holes, and that's about all I got out of it. It's not my area of expertise.
Wow.
Yep.
Jeff, John's sitting up here because he sees my mouth wide open. I was thinking about asking you this because it strikes me now we're talking about, I didn't have this down, we'll get to Grizzlies, but the dad that you are, you know, you're on the college visits, you get around it, and I've heard you talking about it before, all the ACT prep and every kind of prep you can have, you give them everything possible. Like, that whole part of your life, when you wake up in the morning and John and me are thinking about planning the show and what we're going to do, and you got to do that too, where is that for you? I mean, because you're always there. So it must be one of the biggest, if it's not the biggest priority in your life, I mean, being dad to those guys and doing as good a job, as thorough a job, not to just blow smoke. I'm serious.
You know, I mean, you've got you're a dad. I think John can't know, but like in the end, this is true. Once you become a dad, as much as I love my news job and my radio job, news, whatever it is, like that's the main job.
Right.
I mean, it just is. There's no
But not every dad makes every college trip is the point. And yet you always, you know what I mean?
You know
like
what I mean?
They want to be there, but they can't. But you managed to get it done, man.
I don't make them all. And I also, I will say this, that like, I think this is like, I happen to be a divorced parent, but my ex and I work together pretty well. And she's good at some things and I'm good at other things.
Yeah.
One of the truths. Like,
I respect it. That's awesome.
If they have something going wrong in their life that they want to talk about, they're much more apt to talk to Julia than me. You know, if they have an emotion, like, and it's a little sexist, I guess, that it just aligned this way, but it is true. If they are struggling with something, they're much more apt to tell her that. I'm not a very good dad that way. I try to be. I wish I were, you know, but I'm not. I'm not like, I'll just open up to you, Dad, about everything in my life. I'm a pretty good dad at being at the track meet. You know, like I was talking about Peter runs track, and so every Wednesday, whatever day it was this week, there was a track meet at MUS, and so I go to the track meet. I'm a pretty good dad about going to concerts. I'm a pretty good dad about, oh my gosh, they're struggling. Let me find some Spanish teacher to help them. I'm a pretty good like that kind of stuff. I'm a pretty good dad. I wish I were better at just being warm and cuddly.
Right.
I'm not. That's just how I was raised. I wrote that piece about taking my parents to Disney, and had that whole trip. But like when I say goodbye to them, have this emotional trip. That's my dad's in the ER for 2 of the 4 days, and I truly they're 98, 94. I may never see them again. Here's how I say goodbye. I shake hands with my father, and I kiss my mother on the cheek. And that's sort of, you know.
Nobody
I say,
says
okay.
I love you. I get it. I got that with my mom.
I don't say I love you. I don't hug. I don't, like, it's just not how I was raised. I wish I did, you know, honestly, if one of the truth. So, and I'm sort of conscious of it. Like, but right now, like, so Andrew, my middle kid, is a very different kid than Ben. Ben loves sports and is in a fraternity at Northwestern, is like that, right?
Yeah.
Andrew is on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum. He's very high functioning, but so he needs a totally different kind of a place. And so you help them. In the end, it's their decision, but you help them explore what the right thing is for them. And that's true. I think that every parent has to figure how to help their kid. And yet then the danger is you also don't want to be the we see it with this college admission scandal, right?
Mm-hmm.
These parents who aren't just helping their kid, you don't want to be a bulldozer clearing the way for your kid so everything's easy for them,
I'm with
right?
You.
That's not,
yes.
That's not the job. But the job is to help them find their own way and to be their best selves. And so, it is like
tough job.
I would have I wanted this kid to go look at 7 different. He didn't want to. So like whatever, we're looking at a couple colleges, and that's fine. And he'll figure it out, and he'll go where he wants to go. And I do try to figure that out, help him figure it out. But I think it's I count myself lucky that I have an ex-wife who complements what I do, and
good.
Does better at the stuff than I'm bad at.
Yeah, I think that's a great
credit to both of you.
Does it surprise you, my son John Martin, that I'm warm and cuddly? Does that like
I've seen you guys have John? Warm and cuddly moments.
Yeah, no.
So John's much more emotional than I am, though. Like John's literally, John gets in touch with his emotional side much more easily than I do.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna start crying right now.
No,
I'm actually gonna. I can cry on demand.
Yeah, John can cry on demand. Yeah, yep. Or if there's like anyone who tweets anything bad about him.
Actually, just you didn't see it, but a tear dropped down my cheek.
Yeah, small tear.
It is a true gift. It really is. But anyway, let's move on, shall we? Because anyway, your son needs to pick the University of Memphis, and if we want to have a real conversation about the fact that you're not going to send one single kid to Memphis, does Dr. Rudd know about this? Because I'm going to tell him.
That would upset
him. I'll be honest. I was talking.
Who are you calling there?
Are you trying to three-way him in? What are you doing?
I was talking to a guy who works in a disabilities office at another university, and just today, and he said, you know, I was for another job recently, and I came and I interviewed at the jobs I was looking at was the University of Memphis, because I think he said they have like 60 people in there. He said, it's unbelievable. It's huge. It's fantastic. Their disabilities office. So anyway, I have nothing, as you know, nothing but great regard for the University of Memphis. I also do think, like, that's why I'm torn whenever I say local kids should stay home. I do think there's something to be said for, like, another part of the world. You know, like, if we tell basketball players, stay in Memphis, and that's fine. And literally, I was talking to a football player at the spring game, a graduate, one of a recent alums, and it worked perfectly for him. He doesn't play football anymore, and he was an accountant, and he called an alumnus and said, hey, what can you help me? And the guy helped him get a job, and now he's working, and like it worked perfectly the way it's supposed to work. So I do think there are advantages to going to the University of Memphis if you're local and you play a sport. But I also think there's advantages to seeing another corner of the world. I mean, I think that's true. So, but like Ben is up at Northwestern, and I'm pretty confident he's going to end up living in Memphis. Like he's going to come back to Memphis. Having seen another part of the world, I think he's probably going to come back to Memphis.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That happens a lot. But anyway, I'll tell Dr. Rudd that you won't be sending anybody to Memphis.
Don't speak for me.
Well, then send a kid to Memphis then. If you're, you know,
okay,
do it.
I got one more to go.
Okay, well, we'll certainly we'll keep an eye on it. All right, the Memphis Grizzlies made some changes. They made some hires. I think a lot of people suspected Rich Cho was going to be in the front office. Glenn Grunwald is going to be an advisor with the Grizzlies. Just broadly, your thoughts on these moves. I know it's hard to sit here and say, oh, I love these or I hate these because we don't know yet, but just what is your perspective on all of this?
I listened to Chris Harrington this morning on my own show, and he said that he feels better about the Grizzlies today than he did yesterday. I feel better about the Grizzlies today than I did yesterday because what Jason Wexler and the Klein said, they said that to get experienced people to put around. Now, you can double all you want, and I had some quibbles, and I mentioned those on my show today. Like, there's some areas, there are things I'm concerned about. Someone who that franchise survive, sure. Mentally, what they went and got two deeply experienced records mixed, and I think Rich Cho's record more mixed than Grunwald record, but get it, and you say they got deep experienced executives who they are putting around Zach Klein and Jason Wexler, which is exactly what they said they were going to do. And they are in jobs that suit them. Richard Cho, in the end, made some bad draft picks, right? If you look at his record, you can see some good ones. Kemba Walker, some bad draft picks in there. And so that, but what he's being asked to do is pretty much run the analytic department. And most people say that as an engineer and as a sort of the numbers guy that he is well suited for that. And for Grunwald, honestly, I've heard nothing but good things about him. Most people think that when he was out by the Knicks, that was a bad decision by the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And so he's the sort of, he's a lawyer, and if you need a joke about everybody that hire is a lawyer, but he's a basketball guy. He played at IU. He's a basketball guy. Really, I'm in favor of him. Now, are the things that were weird about it? Yes, it's kind of weird that they were both working for the Grizzlies for the last year, and nobody...
Hey, let's
log cabin in Ohio.
Yeah, let's try to call him back. Let's try to get him off and then call him back.
I wonder if he was moving around in it.
The log cabin in Ohio. That's where he's at.
It's just what I envisioned, trying to get that signal out.
Yeah, I do wonder, like, when, you know, how you go on so many college visits, you know, if they run together, you know. Like if you come away feeling like, oh, this one was particularly better than the other one that we went on, you know? I've never thought about doing that for an academic, from an academic perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always been about like you're taking a sports visit, right? Jeff, we got you.
I'm here.
Yeah, that's better. You are making an unbelievable point. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Ask me a follow-up question, but I'm fundamentally in favor of it. I'm fundamentally in favor of both hires. I think it's them delivering on what they said they'd do. I think it was fundamentally a good thing. I do have some concerns, like everybody does. I mean, not getting most thinking people do looking at all of this, but I feel better about it than I did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of where I'm at on it. I can't say whether I love it, I can't say whether I hate it, but I'm willing to give it a chance. And at least, listen, if it provides a little bit more clarity on how the decisions are made and who the decisions go through, it's probably a net positive.
So. Jeff, I thought you loved it.
I thought you loved it.
You were saying, yeah. Bobby can't call it amateur hour anymore.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, I did say that. I said it's not amateur hour.
But now, you realize that was just Thursday, right? You realize he was just saying that's Thursday, not what they were going to do going forward.
Someone did clarify that.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
I did not realize that he was really just referring to Thursday.
What happened on Thursday?
And Thursday was amateur hour. That was amateur hour. But yes, you can't call it amateur hour when you have two guys who are as. And here's the other thing that I've heard a lot of that I disagree with. This is just shuffling. People around. Obviously, I do think it's kind of bizarre, this is what I was saying when we were cut off, that both these guys were working for this organization and we had no idea.
Right.
Like, I think that's odd on the part of an organization. And I've said this before, I think the organization has become oddly secretive over the past few years. But do I think this is just shuffling titles and cosmetic changes because a lot of the same people are still involved? I think that's not fair at all. I don't believe that in the slightest. And the analogy I made this morning, but is, and maybe this is too close to home for Brad, but if you just told Brad that he was part of the street team now, right? He was going to go hand out koozies in the morning. I mean, you know, in grocery stores to help support our radio stations. And you took, we'll say Bennett, and say Bennett, you're now programming the radio station, right? Well, yeah, it's the same people who are involved in things, but I presume that Bennett would have a impact on what the radio station looked like, felt like, and how it ran. And so, sure, the same people are involved, but Rich Cho doing a sort of a homework assignment from wherever he was doing it, the West Coast, I believe, for the past year is very different from him being here, rolling up his sleeves, moving to Memphis, and being involved in all of the analytics, doing a lot of the stuff that John Hollinger did. For Zach Kleiman, going from being a guy who was sort of pitching in, making some calls, to a guy who was leading the department and is really sort of, I think is very different. So sure, a lot of the names are the same, but I think it's disingenuous to think, and I really do believe, having talked to them, that they're committed to having a different kind of process and everything else. I don't think this is just cosmetic. And I also think, although you can say, my gosh, they only hire people they know, I actually think it speaks well of Zach Kleiman that both of these guys, whom worked for him as he was an intern, that they're both willing to, and maybe it's a little less impressive for Grunwald because he's just going to stay in Canada and accepting a check, right? But for Rich Cho to move here and work for him, this guy who was his intern once upon a time, yes, it's convenient and it's someone he knows, but I also actually think it speaks well. You wouldn't do that if you didn't have a very high regard for Zach Kleiman. So I think it speaks well for Zach Kleiman that those guys are willing to and enthusiastic about joining the organization. So are there flaws in the whole thing? Are there still some issues that you'd still want still a little more, I think, basketball, true, on the court type of basketball people there? I think that's fair. And I think you can look at Rich Cho's record and wonder about it and say that's whatever. I mean, there are still questions to be answered, and let's wait and see what they get from Mike Conley and who they draft and everything else. But these are two guys with deep experience across multiple organizations who I think can help Jason Wexler and Zach Kleiman succeed.
There you go. Jeff, always appreciate it, man. Enjoy the visit. Thank you.
All right.
All right, see ya.
Yes, Jeff Calkins. We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All my life I want money and power, respect my mind or die from less shout. I pray my get big as the Eiffel Tower, so I can the world for 72 hours. Damn, I feel amazing. Damn, I'm in the matrix. My mind is living on cloud nine and this nine is never on vacation.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And we have a mystery on our hands, apparently. We have a mystery on our hands as it relates to Zach Kleiman. Not, you know, what decisions he's going to make, not what he values in a basketball player. None of that. Jason brought to my attention today, so he's been reading these releases that the Grizzlies have been putting out. He's been reading them very closely. And Zach's middle name apparently starts with a Z.
How?
So you're saying that in the release it says Zachary Z. Kleiman.
Yes. And not just here. We found Mills and his investigative work has found that on his LinkedIn profile it is the exact same, so we ain't talking typo.
Okay.
How can you go ZZ, John?
ZZ Top.
What? I get that. I realize.
So it's been done before.
We're talking about a man's first and middle name. How can you go off Zach and go to another Z? What could it possibly be? These are the kind of things, man, that I've been thinking about all show, quite frankly.
Well, I went to thebump.com, and I looked up—
Who has two stray Zs?
Popular boy names that start with Z, and I've got a list of about 27.
I know. I have a guess that it could be, and we'll see if it's on your list, Zebediah.
Dude, that is not a real person's name.
Zebediah is a real name, fool, and it's about the only thing you could put behind Zach and it make any sense.
Zebediah?
Look it up.
What? Where is that from?
There might be. I'm trying to remember where I know if there was a Zebediah at Rozelle. Rozelle Elementary. It might have been one.
I don't think there was a Zebediah at Rozelle Elementary.
Does this not baffle you?
Very baffling.
You name your son, and it's two Z's. I need to know what the second name is.
Okay, Zion. Zane.
We know it'd be crazy. We know it ain't Zion. And I don't think you can do, you mentioned that, I don't think you can do Zachary Zeke Kleiman.
Why not?
It doesn't make a home, because Zach's already, Zachary Zeke Kleiman. No, it's too close. You're not doing that. Got to know this.
I don't know. Maybe.
Surely we can find out before the end of tomorrow's
maybe
show.
Maybe we can have him on the show and ax him. Maybe we can do that. Let's do that thing we do.
Here's what 92.9 FM, ESPN's Jason, John, and Bennett are checking out tonight.
I'm going to be digging deep, trying to find out if this man's middle name is Zebediah. That's what I'm going to be doing tonight. No, John, actually, what I'm going to be doing tonight is I'm playing catch-up. Get this. You tell me if you've heard about it. It's a show called The Shy. Have you heard about this show?
No.
Man, it's pretty cool. And they're in season two, apparently, or at least they've just completed or something, or at least there have been two seasons. I'm in the first. My wife, who is obviously from Chicago, and me, who always wanted to be from Chicago, my dad is, and he raised me that way. It's all about The Shy, man, and the things that go on up there with, you know, I don't have to tell you about the violence and everything else, but I loved the characters. I loved the acting in it. I saw the first three episodes last night, again, of season one, and my wife and I can't wait to get home tonight. We've actually been texting about it. It's first thing on TV we've wanted to get back to and anxious to see for a while. So we're about in the fourth, fifth episode of the first season. We're trying to binge it and get to season two. That's what I'm watching, The Shy. I recommend it. Some really good acting in this thing.
John?
I've got a younger brother. I don't know if y'all knew that. I've got a younger brother. He's 10 years younger than me.
I had no idea.
And he is really big into rock climbing. And so I'm actually meeting him this afternoon, evening, and we're going to go rock climbing.
Bro, your life is an adventure.
See, Bennett,
every
Bennett,
day.
Bennett just goes home and watches wrestling. Every night, John Mills is doing something different. He's video
This is
gaming.
Why I wanted to buy, when we do the segment, no, we would have was, range this like
your,
this.
This was your vision
yes,
for the
yes,
segment.
This was my vision.
Rock climbing.
So many different things.
With the mattress. Okay, we'll enjoy that.
I really am, I promise you.
And then I'll obviously be checking out the playoffs. Denver-San Antonio to me is a great series. And then you got Golden State and Clipper series behind that. Kevin Durant versus Patrick Beverley. That is now something that I'm interested in. Obviously. So that's what I'm going to be checking out tonight. Denver, San Antonio. Will Barton really had a – he struggled in game two against the Spurs.
He's forcing things a
little
bit.
Had 5 points in that game. Maybe he can bounce back tonight. That's going to do it for us today.
Zebediah, Hebrew.
Okay.
For gift of Jehovah.
Okay, maybe it is Zebediah. I'm sorry. Seems likely. That's going to do it for us today. As always, the Jason and John Show is presented to you by the Wing Guru. Stop by if you are hungry. Thanks to our guests who joined us today.
Thank you, listeners.
Who joined us today?
Are you kidding me? You can't get one? Jeff Goodman? Kyler? You remember him?
Steve Kyler, Jeff Goodman, Scott Cherry, and Jeff Coggs. Man, sometimes it's hard to remember all those people, you know? And we appreciate all their time.
I think you got an email that you liked. And it threw you off.
Yep. Eric Hasline's up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.